Good morning, Beit Elul, and today's daf is Kuf Chav Zayin. And we had two approaches yesterday to the Mishnah, which we're going to further explore today. The Mishnah said, Mefanim afilo arba v'chamesh kupot shel teven, avlo et ha'otzar. The question was, how to understand four or five, since that seems to simply be a silly way to talk. I mean, if it's five, say so. And what would be the meaning of lo et ha'otzar? So we had two basic approaches. We had one approach, Rabbi Yehuda of Chista, which followed Rabbi Yehuda's din of muktzah, that there is muktzah. So that lo et ha'otzar means that things that had been sealed in an otzar that had not been used would be considered muktzah, and you can never be mefana kelim from an otzar, even if you need the space on Shabbat. And therefore the meaning of four or five would be four out of five, or five from an otzar gadol. And that would be telling me another halacha, namely that you cannot complete a pinui, because if you complete the pinui, you may end up being mashveh gumot, you'll sweep the floor. The other approach was according to Rabbi Shimon, that there is no muktzah, in which case we couldn't possibly learn lo et ha'otzar to mean you can't clean out an otzar. I mean, you can't start an otzar. So therefore, according to him, lo et ha'otzar is the way we say you can't clear out the whole area. But then you can't understand four out of five, because we know from otzar you can't clear the area. So he learns four or five as an indication that there's no specific shear. Four or five, or as many as necessary. The only thing that it's coming to tell me is our reluctance to go beyond. But you could certainly take what is necessary. L'chora, we're going to take a look at that assumption today. But it means we have two very different questions. Do we include the element of muktzah in Mefanim or only tircha in Mefanim? Today the Gemara wants to know, whether this din of not starting an otzer, does that mean that you can't walk through an otzer either? In other words, because you're going to end up moving something? Is this level of mukta include pushing something aside? And there's actually, it's very interesting that this sugya became very important for the latest postgame, including the Chazanish and the Mishnah Berurah, about what is considered tiltul min atzar. Let's take a look at this braita. Tana Rabbanan, ein matchilim bo tzar tchila, you cannot open up, not clearly is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? So otherwise there's no problem in the beginning in otzar. But ein matchilim bo tzar tchila, aval oseh bo shvil kedei sheikanez v'yotze. But you can make a path through the otzar. What? Says the Gemara. But ein matchilim. I thought you said you can't start an otzar, which means that you hold this muktzah. So how could you make a shvil? Oh, hachikomer. It means that you can push things out of the way with your foot when you walk in and walk out. Now, surprisingly, the Chazon Ish learns from here that moving something with your foot is not called tiltul min atzar. Because if it's tiltul min atzar, there's no point in this whole sugya. We understand that there's a din tiltul min atzar. And furthermore, why would you have to say b'knisato b'yitziyato? There's no isr of tiltul min atzar, b'chora. So that would mean you could push it out of the way with your feet. I mean, what are we talking about b'knisato b'yitziyato? So therefore, he learns that the point over here is you're not bedavka walking in and using your foot to move. It's just a totza'ah of walking by. They didn't ask for that type of tiltul min atzar. Many disagree and learn that the point over here is indeed coming to me a chiddush gavi tiltul min atzar. Namely, you cannot do tiltul min atzar unless it's necessary for something else that you're doing. Because you don't allow you stam to be metaltul min atzar mukt. You need knisah v'yitziyah. So you're matir to kick it with your foot. But that doesn't mean that kicking with your foot is not a type of tiltul min atzar. This makes tremendous amount of sense. It means with a for a need. It's not sort of mokum mamish, but as part of something that has to be taken care of. But not stam not to be makbid until Tumor. Because you could say that all of those Yisurim of not moving something, you're not allowed to move something for no purpose at all, wouldn't include Tiltum Menatzad. But it would, according to this. Because there needs to be at least some purpose of Kinesa V'Yitzia. That's the same thing. Tanu Rabbana. Tfu'ah Tzvura. Bizman Shehit Chilba Mi'erev Shabbat Mutar Listabek Bimena. You have a pile of tefuah that has been piled up, which makes it very clear that it's been set aside for an otsar, which according to Rabbi Yehuda now makes it muktzeh. So if you started being mistapek from that pile of tefuah, so then mutar listapek mimena b'shabbat, then you can continue taking out other things out of that tefuah. V'imla v'asur listapek mimena b'shabbat, but here's the killer, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. What? How could this be Rabbi Shimon? We just got finished saying that's reviewed of it. Because it says over here, Mukta, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of this type of Mukta. Whereas Rabbi Acha Matir, Klape, liar, where the heck are you going? That's exactly the opposite, no? Sorry, you're right. Elaim Adivi Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Obviously, I mean, we must have reversed that. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, that's exactly what we've been discussing here. And in fact, he doesn't hold that setting tefuah aside for storage as muktzah. Now, when you spoke about the shiur here of tzvura, you talked about these kupot. I mean, how large is tzvura? You know, what do we mean? We mean like a box of cereal? You buy 50 boxes of cereal, you put them in your closet. So that's called an otzer because it's tzavur, or is there a particular shiur? Answers the Gemara, a shear is letech. It does not mean boxes of cereal. It means in large storage containers the size of a letech, which are quite large. It's a half a quart. Moimine Reb Nechumi Bar Zachari Mi'abai, who hadn't heard this, shear tefuah tzvura bekama, and he said, Harayon hu shear tefuah tzvura letech. Iboyelo, which now makes us turn towards the Mishnah. When we spoke about Arba V'Chamesh Kupot, is Arba V'Chamesh Kupot, does that mean that we're interested in being memayet as much as possible, the carrying, so that we allowed you the tirch of carrying four or five containers, but tvelo? Or is this the shiur of the amount of tefuah that you could take out? And of course it would be even better if you would take it out in smaller containers so that you wouldn't have to carry something very heavy.
More
trips. So in other words, is it more trips that makes things better?
Which is tircha more.
In a way, that's more tircha, but there's certainly a limit, as Tosis points out, to how much tircha we're going to allow you to do in terms of weight. We don't allow you to carry large kupot, larger than this. So what would be better? Is it Hani Arba V'Chamesh Kupot Ka'amar? Is that saying in four or five containers and no more? So Bi Arba V'Chamesh Kupot in but no more? In which case, Alma Lamuti Bihi Lucha Adif, that our most prominent concern here would be to see to it that you don't have to walk, make too many trips. Odiyama Lamuti Masui Adif, is this just the amount of Tvua? In other words, it was a given amount to a kupa, maybe a letta, whatever the kupa was, and you cannot carry out more than that amount of tefuah, but we don't care how many times you walk back and forth. On the contrary, we prefer you to carry something that's less heavy. Tashma, the Tani Chodem Mifanim, Afilu Arba V'Chamesh Kupot Shokade Shemin V'Shokade Yayin. Look, in one hand, we have a braita that says that you can carry out four or five kupot of wine or oil containers. Whereas the other braita says you can carry out 10 or 15. So now, are they not arguing about this issue? My labo kamiflike. The mar sabamu utibuhulucha adiv. I mean, apparently that's the point here. One man the armor is saying, look, that you can only make four or five trips. Whereas the other Madni Omer is simply saying, that you split up the size of your kupot into smaller containers so that the 5 containers become 10 containers by splitting them in half, or 15 containers by splitting them in thirds. Fine, whatever. 5 kupot, or 10 half kupot, or 15 and a third kupot. So he would be saying that, look, mu'tib masui, so it would be better even to have less, smaller containers, obviously with the same shiur that would have fit into 5 kupot. That's what we seem to be asking. Now, remember that according to the way Shmuel was learning the sugya, the Mishnah said over here meaning 4 or 5 or more. So this whole thing doesn't make sense, according to him, because it wasn't giving a maximum. We'd have to say here that we're asking according to Rukhisa, and not according to Shmuel. Certainly the way Rashi was learning the sugya. Remember, it being 4 or 5 or more. So it's saying to adjust it and, you know, take whatever you got to take out. You know, so, I mean, so what are we asking? If the Mishnah was giving an amount, a specific amount, now we want to know, is it better to spread that amount over separate kalim or to spread it out only in the number of maximum kupot that are mentioned? Fine, that makes sense. But if you're not telling me an amount, it's an absurd question. There is no amount. Something wrong? Yeah, there is no amount. However, you should know that Rashi's pshat is not the only one in Shmuel, and that the Shi'ultais actually brings our sugya without the words V'iboya filutuva na'mi v'fane, which will change our relationship a little bit to the sugya in the lines coming up as well. But and assuming that we're going to Rashi, and Rashi speaks this out to Feirush himself, that this question would only be asked of Ibn Rukhista, not of Ibn Shmuel, obviously. Says the Gemara, no, there's no reason to assume that that's what the machlokas is over here, but rather, the kuleyama miyotabilucha adiv. It may well be that everybody holds the less walking you're doing, the better. When it said 10 or 15, it wasn't referring to the kupot. You can't carry out 10 or 15 separate containers. Perhaps you can only carry out a maximum of 5 separate containers. And the reason that it says 10 or 15 was referring to the content of those 5 containers. So that what he was saying is, wait, Misav, did you think that he meant 10 or 15 kupot? Meaning the primary container that you're moving? No, you're limited to 5 containers. He was referring to, and what do these 5 containers contain? And we were saying, look, you could have in it lokasha. It's referring to the kadim. How many kadim are in these kupot? You're talking about over here oil containers, or wine containers, not barrels of wine. Kupot of kadayin is what you said. So you're talking about basically, in our terms, a box that has in it the bottles. You know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what is it? That's what he's saying. Is it a 6-pack? Is it a 10-pack? So that's what the way in which he's saying it is different. That's all. One is talking about large wine containers that actually fill a kupa. So you're talking about the barrel-sized container. There's also some containers that hold a tri-pack of wine. What are those? Never seen those. Sure, they're Dikuria de Arpanya. In Arpanya, they sell these small cotton that stack 3 in a kupa. So it's not a coincidence that we're taking multiples of the number of kupot, is it? I mean, that's the point. Why do we choose multiples? I mean, if it's just the question of spreading it out, spread it out wherever you want. If we're talking about multiples, it means, okay, what do these contain? 2 apiece, 3 apiece, 1 apiece. They were just talking about the number of kadim that could go in the kupas. That's all. There's no machlokas over here as well. Now, the question is like this. Hani arba v'chamesh? I mean, he said 4 or 5, but the way, again, that Reb Chisda was learning, it meant only 5 maximum, right? Okay. When you say that, is the pshat that every individual can have for himself 5 kupot from a large potza. So, I mean, what if I get 20 guests? I should be able to move for each guest. Fine. I mean, or at least what's needed. Because it's not that Rav Chisda was saying, under no circumstances can you move more than five. Maybe. There's two ways to understand it. Because I could say, I mean, as Tosis points out over here, he's definitely saying that it's a given that I can move five even though I'm an individual. Because otherwise it wouldn't make any sense what he's saying. If Rav Chisda is telling you, depending on what you need, you can move up to five, then we can't ask a question now, and how about if you have a lot of guests? That's what he meant to say. Right, so clearly, says Tosis, it's taken for granted by the Sugya that Rav Chisda is giving you, go ahead, move five. Now the question is, okay, go ahead and move five for me, or go ahead and move five as a maximum, no matter how many people you get. So this, again, according, if you're learning like Shmuel, where it says, well, whatever you need, I mean, of course, there's no point in asking. So again, Rashi learns. So too, does this Sugya ask only Alibud Rav Chisda? From which some conclude that since the Gemara keeps asking questions of Libra Chisda, it would appear that the halacha is like Rav Chisda, which is very strange, because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Rav Chisda's approach to the mission, the second part, about the Otsa, is going to Rabbi Yehuda. Because of that, indeed, Rav argues and says, no, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Since we're passing on Rav Shimon, couldn't possibly be following the Sugya of Rav Chisda. We're just trying to ask, okay, but what would Rav Chisda do in the following cases, just to understand his approach to the Mishnah? So, Iboyelu, Hane Arbava Chamishnik Amra. Well, we said you have a maximum of five. Was that for you or absolute? Hapagav the Itle Yorchim Tuva, no matter how many guests you have? Odil Mahakola Fiorachim, or is this saying for you can take five, it's a given, and then if you need more space because more people came, then you can move more, of course. The imtin tselomar hakol afi orachim, and if we end up concluding that according to Rav Chisda you're allowed to move prorated to the number of guests, is it a din in the number or is it a din in the movers? In other words, can one person move for all of the guests that he has, or is there a limit to tircha that one individual can take? But what you could do is you could tell the guests that they can move. So that's the shaila. Is there a limit per person? Each one of you can move one of these.
Self-service.
Exactly. Because I'm not allowed to be toreach more than five. That's also a question. How to understand Rav Chisda. So is it chad gavra mafani lekula? Is one person allowed to move what is necessary? Or does each person, is it each man to his own? Tashma. Well, we've already had a similar case. Remember that Rebbe once came to a certain place, saw that there was no room for tomorrow's shir, went out to a field and saw that the field was full of sheaves. The Imer Rebbe kol ha-sadeh kula. And he ended up clearing out the entire field in order to allow places for all of his Talmidim. It was also a Maisa that Rabbi Yosef reports, that Rabbi Yosef Amr Hosha, Pa'am Achat Alach Rabbi Chiyel Makom Echad, this was done by Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Stalmin as well. It's clear, therefore, that the psak is that you go according to the number of people that you have. Okay, but she didn't answer me about the other question. Is it each man for himself, or can one person do all of the necessary moving? Adayin tiboyelacha, chad gavra mefanele lakula, Tashma. Ah, it says the Imer Rebbe kol ha-sadeh kula. It says Rebbe did it. Ah, come on, what do you think? Rebbe did it himself? Rebbe cleared out the whole field. That's what he spent the Shabbos doing. I mean, why would Rebbe, who's got 1,000 people ready to be bishops? So, what do you think it means? The timing, what you think that means? Rebbe been an avshe Imer. That he did it on his own, sivavim there. Obviously it means that he gave the ruling to go and do it. Now, we still don't know whether he told one guy, the shamash, to do it, or he told each kofer, go take a place for yourself. So we leave this open. It's certainly very possible that each person is limited to the maximum tirka he himself can do, even when that tirka is necessary for others. Mipnei ha'orchim, Om Rav Yochanan, says Rav Yochanan, notice that there are two things that are mentioned in our Mishnah. By the way, so why do we say Mipnei ha'orchim and Mipnei Bitul Beit HaMikdash? Well, what do we think? Like, are we giving here and no other purpose? I mean, what's Mipnei ha'orchim? And how about if it's for a gan? For an Onik Shabbos? I don't know. I suppose your kids want to do a dance or something. We're saying, no, it's only for these two purposes. So the Mishnah wants to give the sense of for a purpose, because people are saying, so what do I need two separate statements for? Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah is coming to teach me a very important point. Namely, that Hakvasat Orchim is as important as Mipnei Bitul Beit HaMidrash. So you see from here, Gidolach Masot Orchim Kashkamat Beit HaMidrash. It's clear from here, by the way, that the word Hashkamat Beit HaMidrash does not mean waking up early in the morning. No, there's a very important point. There's actually a number of articles that have been written about that question. What does Hashkamah mean? Because we have the same word used, Hashkamat Beit HaMidrash Shachrit Arvit. What is Hashkamah for Arvit supposed to mean? So Hashkamah means Shkedah. To do it, to get it done. So mashkim lepitcho. Everybody is there bizrizut is the point. That's necessarily a lotion of getting up early in the morning, because otherwise, what's the raya from the Mishnah? It says mitnei bitul beit hamidrash. Does it mean hashkamat beit hamidrash? Maybe hashkamat beit hamidrash is different. So clearly, the Gemara is using the word Bitul Beit HaMidrash and Hashkamat Beit HaMidrash or Bitul Hashkamat Beit HaMidrash as being synonyms. How do we know it's the same? Because it says Mipnei Orchim Mipnei Bitul Beit HaMidrash. Says Radimi Minarga. No, you're not going all the way on this. I mean, you might as well bite the bullet. It's clear that it's more important than Hashkamat Beit HaMidrash, because if the point of the Mishnah is to teach me the relationship of Hakrasat Orchim to Bitul Torah, then why does it put it in this order? Hakhnasat Orchim u'bitul Beit HaMidrash. So apparently the greater tzorach is Hakhnasat Orchim. So if you have halacha l'maisa, this actually brought halacha l'maisa. If you have, you're on your way out to Seder, and somebody comes now to your door, which you have to be machnisim, that you should actually be late for your Seder and take care of your Hakhnasat Orchim. Okay, there's others that said it's dafk if there isn't someone in the house, it'll be macabre, but I mean, the point of the sugya is which one is the adif activity,
Lechara.
You don't say, excuse me, I have a shiur. You don't say, excuse me, I have a shiur. Exactly. That's invasion. That's not an oreyah. That's a loss. Let me tell you, speaking of bells, there's no question that man was called Bell for a reason, and that because of that, there's this particular Gehenna that's called Hell Bells that is miyuchet for that guy.
But does the speaking of that, it's just my long absence, my imagination. But have they increased the amplitude of the muzanim? This morning, the guy blew me out of bed. You know,
yeah, I've heard him for a long time.
It finally worked. I paid the guy a couple of months ago.
I've heard him for a long time. None of those guys in China.
Huh? No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, very right. Few, at least not in the areas that I.
It's a very slow process getting used to that horrible sound.
Wow,
you forgot.
I forgot. Yeah.
Does this not apply regardless of the financial status of the guest, so to speak?
Of the guest?
There's somebody that's.
It's not a din in Ani Hakhnasat Orchim. Okay, so first it says Mibnei Orchim, then it says Mibnei Bitul Beit HaMidrash. It's more, forget about being late for Seder. You could be in the middle of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you say, excuse me one moment, could you wait for me? Because we see that that's what happens to Avraham Avinu. Because he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, as a machlokas, as Tosis points out, as a machlokas in Kedushin, whether the understanding of the pasuk Vayomer Adonai Imna Matzati Chen Beinecha is talking to the Malachim, calling them Adonai, my masters, or whether it's a reference to the Shekhinah, where he's calling the Shekhinah with the shame of Adnud. Our Gemara is assuming that he's talking to the Shekhinah. So Vayomer, so Avram turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Adonai, Inna Matzati Chen Beinecha Al Na Tavor Mi Al Avadecha, which is outrageous. Means you're in the middle of a conversation, you see some guys coming, so you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sorry, could you please wait for a few minutes, I'll be right back. He goes out, and he's Mekava Pnei Orechim. Omer Vyona Marav, so Gedola Achnasat Orechim Akbalat Pnei Hashkinah, Dichtiv Vayomer, if we're learning this, that it would be Hashem, Omer Rebbe Elazar, I mean, this seems outrageous, but that's the point. That this is not Derecheretz. Ein katan, yachol lomar legadol hamtein ad shavo etzlacha. I would try doing that with even a bureaucrat, that's it. Your next appointment is in 3 years, right? Ve'ilu v'akadosh baruch hu k'tiv, Vayomer Adonai namatzati chen beinecha al natavor me'al avadecha. May take me a half an hour, you don't mind reading a book meanwhile. So, okay. So, I mean, clearly, the level of anhaga here is obviously that we're in this together. Correct? I mean, in terms of Bas of Adam, I don't ask permission. I'm assuming that it's obvious that this is your Rutzen, and therefore I'm asking you that Afapike don't make me lose my connection with you for it. And I said, both things should still be Amid Fanefa. Om Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, Om Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan. Shisha Dvarim, Adam Ochel Perotem, Bolam Azeh, Vakeren Kayemet Lo Lolam Abba. Now this is going to be rather shocking, because it does not say what it says in the Mishnah. Here it says, what are the things that a person has Perot in Olam Azeh without affecting the actual investment in Olam Abba? Hachnasat Orchim, Bikur Cholim, Iyun Tefillah, which means having Kavana, an insight into your tefillah, not the other iyun tefillah, which is aser, which is the iyun tefillah waiting for your tefillah being mitzkayim, or learning how to press the right buttons in your tefillah. Vashkamat beit hamidrash, hamegadel banav leTalmud Torah, and adan et chaveron lekav zechut. It's weird, a whole different list. But hey, is that right? Vananznan, how about the Mishnah we say every day? Elo devarim she'adam oseh otam v'ochel perotehim b'olam hazeh v'keren kayemet lo l'olam haba ve'elohim, whole different list. Kibra ve'im, milut chasadim, avarat shalom bin adam l'chaviro, v'talmud Torah k'neged kulam. How do you understand that? I mean, that's anihin midiach rin alone. The Mishnah's telling you. No, one is a Mishnah. So we're asking, how do you understand the first list, which is not even a brayta, it's a mimer of Rav Yochanan. How could Rav Yochanan argue on the Mishnah? The Mishnah gives you a different list. What, he's ignoring the Mishnah in Be'ah? Answers the Gemara, Haninami Bahani Shaykhe. No, Rav Yochanan is coming to expand what you might not have understood from the Mishnah. So he's coming to tell me, look, Haknasat Orchim, Bikur Cholim, are they not included under Gemilut Chasadim? So you talk about Gemilut Chasadim, what do you think it means? Giving a guy a Gemach? That's the only case of Gemilut Chasadim. So he wants you to see very clearly. Iyun Tvila. That is a question, what is Iyun Tvila? Some learn Iyun Tvila is in terms of praying for another guy. It's like included in Gemilut Chasadim. Rashi says, no. Iyun Tvila is chesed that you do for your own self. So Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed. When you care for your soul, so it's the care and what do you call it? The care and, what do you say? Well, you want to raise monkeys, the care and feeding of it. Yeah. So the care and feeding of your soul is also Gemilut Chesed. The Gomel Nafshu Ish Chesed. That's the beautiful Gemara about Hillel. He was going to take a shower. So the Talmidim asked him, so where are you headed? He says, I have to do some Gemilut Chesed. So they kept pressing him, but, you know, wow, maybe we can get the part in the mitzvah, you know. He said, no, actually, I think I'll take my shower on my own. So he says, Gomel Nafshu Ish Chesed. So that's how Rashi learned. So therefore, that's included under Gemilut Chasadi. Clearly, Gido Bonim, the Talmud Torah, and the Ashkamat Beit HaMidrash is part of the Talmud Torah, can I get Kulon? Donat Chavero Lekav Zchut is the finest example of Hava'at Shalom Ben Adam Lechavero. I mean, over here it's between you and a guy. So for you to learn how to deal with the way people act, in a way that allows you to see some reason to nonetheless maintain your relationship with them despite their outrageous behavior, so then that's included under Havah Shalom.
It's like Abu said and told us.
Yeah, exactly. Tana Rabbanan. Hadam chaveiro lekav zechut, danim oto lekav zechut. U'maaseh b'adam echad sheyarad migalil ha'elyon. There's once a story of a particular guy who lived in the Galil, who went south and got himself hired out to a Balabayit. That's very interesting because this mice is brought in the Shiultes as a story about Akiva ben Yosef before he became Rebbe Akiva, who was very poor and hired himself out to Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus, who was extremely rich. And it quotes the people by name, so we actually know who this Maisa was about. And he works for him for 3 years straight. And now it's Erev Yom Kippur of the fourth year, and he's going to be going back home. And he says to him, Amalo, ten li schari, I've been working for 3 years, give me my money, ve'elech ve'azunet ishti yovanai. Amalo, ten li mos, I'm sorry, I have no money. Amarlo, so tainly peirot? Amarli, I'm really sorry, I don't have any peirot. Now, this is Lamrot, the fact that this guy's a multimillionaire. I mean, he's got peirot stacked over here in the 50 warehouses. Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus was fabulously rich. He says, I don't have any. He says, okay, so tainly karka. He says, I don't have any karka. Okay, so tainly beima, ainly. So yeah, give me linens. I'll sell the linens back home. Aimly. Yivshio Kelev Lachorov, poor Akiva puts his backpack on his back. Valach lebeitov pachei nefesh. He goes back home, Nebach, broken hearted, nothing to bring to his family. Liacher harega. So after the circus was over, the balabait comes with scharobiado, he comes with a fat wad of bills to pay him, and he brings with him masui shlosha chamorim, echad shemachal, echad shemishteh, v'echad shemineh migadim. So besides the money, he brings him a beautiful gift. Fine. So they make a party. Acher shachlu v'shatu. After the party, natan lo scharo, he pays him off, and then he asks, let me ask you something. Bishasha Marta li ten li schari. And I answered you, I have no cash. What did you think? Amati says, I assumed that obviously you weren't liquid. Shema pragmatia bezon is dambalacha v'lakachar. Maybe you had this fantastic opportunity to invest some money. You took all your cash and invested, and you didn't get your return in time. Ubishasha Marta li ten li beima. And how about when you said, okay, I'll take animals, and you see I got 10,000 animals roaming, and I say I don't have any. What did you think? I assumed that these were all rent-a-cows, and that you had rented them out, and you weren't free to give them to me. Fine. And I told you I don't have any karka. You know perfectly well that I own thousands of fields. So b'ma'achashdatani. This is amati shema muhkeret biyad achirime. I thought maybe they were all rented out. B'chachira. Ubashasha amarti lecha enli peirot. What did you think there? Amarti shema inan mu'usarot. And yet, it would have taken you a long time to go everything. I thought to go and make sure it was menabuka. You're very mocked, but not to give me peirot that aren't meiser. Ubashasha amarti lecha enli karim u'chsatot. And if I said I didn't have any linen, I mean, you certainly didn't think I opened up a rental linen shop. What did you think then? I mean, that's already outrageous, no? Yeah, says Akiva, at that point, I must say, he became a little creative. And I figured, you know, Shema Hikdish Kol Nechasav L'Shamayim. I thought, you know what, maybe you just gave all of your property and you donated it to the Beit HaMikdash. I mean, I couldn't think of any other explanation. Amarlo, so Rabbi Elazar said to him, Ha'avodah Kach Hoya. It's exactly what was going on. I was having a lot of trouble with my kid, Hurkanis. Couldn't get that guy to go to yeshiva for nothing. And I saw that he was going to be, I mean, next thing you know, he'd be in the movies. So I decided I'm disinheriting him. So, Kach Hoya, Yidarti Konech Asai Bishvil Hurkanis Bini. I decided to give away all my property. And I gave it all away for Hurkanis, because of Hurkanis. Because Shabbati, it's a Chavirai, but their own, he tirali konidorai. After I got to my friends, they said it was the wrong thing to do. They were matim neder. And that's why I came running to you, to bring you now all of your sachar. We'll talk about that. Same way you so creatively figured out in the end, none of the other things were true. I did not have a rent-a-car shop or anything like that. In other words, the final explanation obviously subsumes the whole thing. But that was the issue. You basically came in the middle of a domestic emergency. And look, things got out of hand a little bit, but things are back in order right now. And now I have the money. Okay, so as our dear president asks, so it's because of Hurkanis Bini, so he has a right to be Mali's Chasachi. And what are you doing? It's an issue. So many, indeed, bring a riot from you. There's other sugyas that the Chiyuv of Chasachi is only Chal once you owe it to him. That there's no Chiyuv of planning in advance to have this Chasachi available. That's not called halonas harsokir. You're not going to be over in Easter. It's not a very nice thing to do. But the chiyuv that you're over on a lav lo talim is not true unless you already chayev. If you're chayev, then you're over lo talim. If you don't have the money to pay for whatever reason, you're not going to be over on the lo talim. The question over here is stam. I mean, the Gemara says you're not allowed to be magdish kol mechasa. I mean, even on the act, forget about the implications on Rabbi Akiva. Even the act over here was a wrong act. So it's clearly what he was doing over here was meant to have impact on Hurkanis. He felt it was the only way he was going to be able to deal with Hurkanis. He must have taken into consideration that he was going to be Matir Neder in the end, and that he would make it up to him, which is what he did. He not only brought his schar, he made it up to him and so on, but he couldn't tell him, because if it would have gotten out, it would have ruined the whole thing. So the workers had to see this poor guy who was working for 3 years leave with nothing because he had nothing to give him. That is serious. That is very serious. Maybe I should go to the yeshiva. This is a disaster. He's lost his mind completely. I mean, he's just out of it. This is unbelievable. Who knows what he'll do next? He may take away the keys to the car.
His father, Hurkanis, did the opposite to him.
Right, that's right. It's an amazing story. Not only that, Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law did the same to him. The whole story is strangely involved with Nidorin that everybody made on everybody else. It's like a wild story here. Once you get the names, like you said, what? That's crazy.
Hurkanis' problems that his kid wants to.
That's right. Exactly. It's so ironic. The whole story is so ironic.
It's a very modern concept.
Isn't it? What, you want to spend your life in yeshiva? Be damned if you get a penny of my inheritance.
The opposite. He goes to yeshiva. He becomes a vulture.
Incredible. Amazing story. I don't know. I mean, if I'd be working as I would have budged, but it doesn't say here what happened. But we know that he had the same eyes when he was a kid.
They first ate, and then he paid them.
Yeah.
You build a new relationship first, avoid doing this problem.
I would imagine. Yeah, I mean, it's not all business. Coming as a token of, mechila. I made you hurt.
I understand.
Well, no, it's obvious that if I'm coming to pay you. I mean, that's clear. I'm not going to turn it into a business meeting. Right? Okay. Pleasure first, then
the
real hungry too. Turn around, there's also a story about a chassid echad. Now, Rashi points out that the Gemara says, wherever it says Maaseh b'chassid echad, we're talking about serious people. It's either Rabbi Yudah ben Baba or it's Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Loi. So this was a very serious guy who was out for a pidyon shvuyim. He went and he was pada riba achat bat Yisrael. This was quite abroad. You know, riba achat is quite a plump girl in the picking sense, not in the size sense. And lemalon, when it came time for they were on their way home, and he goes to this motel, and he takes her into his room, and leaves all of his talmidim into their rooms. Ishkiva tachat margalotav, and he puts her to bed underneath him. Lamachar, the next morning, yorad v'taval, he goes to the mikveh, and then shana v'talmidav, and then he gives a shir. Looks awfully suspicious. So v'amar l'am, after the shir, he says to his talmidim, let me ask you something. What were you choshed when you saw me put that girl to sleep in my bed? So they said, Amarnu Shema Yesh Banu Talmid She'eno Baduk L'Rebbe. We figured that you don't trust one of us. So you had to protect this girl. Okay. B'shashi Aradati V'Tavalti B'mah Chashdetuni. Now what did you think happened when you saw me go to the mikveh before teaching you? We thought maybe just because of the exercise, the unusual moving around, maybe you were right at carry. Exactly what happened. Daniel laughed many, many years ago as a bacher. He asked me, so I understand. Why wasn't he done his Talmidim Lekav Zechut? Now, it's very interesting that there's a Reb Tzadik who actually says that the reason that he was Reya Keri was because he had been Cheshed his Talmidim and hadn't been done them Lekav Zechut, which is a strange, a story within a story. But Lemaisa, I think the question is ridiculous. I don't think the Tzadik is right at all. The point of, first of all, the Gemara says it, which everyone knows. But anyway, the answer is very simple. It's a misunderstanding of what Dan Lekav Zechut means. Dan Lekav Zechut doesn't mean you're an idiot. Dan Lekav Zechut doesn't mean I'm supposed to take a ridiculous, when I know this guy is an absolute disgusting, meat-us-less monster. So I should sit there and I should be done. Well, it must be. He's really this. He did that. It must
be. Not at her expense.
No. Nothing to do with her expense. It isn't the point of her expense. It's that the word Dan Lekav Zechut does not mean that I believe my explanation. Dan Lekav Zechut is a din in din, particularly. What's that Dan? Dan means that it's going to determine my practical behavior. So in other words, in terms of my relationship with him, how do I don that relationship? In the same way that in a courtroom, I can't use circumstantial evidence to be done. If I know what happened, I know what happened. I can't say, well, it seems to me that. It seems to you that. Well, it's 90%. It doesn't matter, 90%. You want to put this guy in the jail, you're going to have to prove it beyond 90%. It's us. They have reasonable doubts. We have even unreasonable then. So the idea over here, there's two completely separate issues, and it's very, very similar to the idea of being chayish for Lashon Hara and never being mekabel Lashon Hara. So in terms of my behavior, of course I got, but I'm going to go into business with you after you treat me like this. Absolutely not. I'm going to risk a penny. It's not only her, it's me. I wouldn't risk a penny. Why? Because I have to be chayshet. It certainly looks like you are a totally unreliable, horrific partner for a business. I would never go into with business again. Furthermore, if anybody asks me whether they should go into business with you, I would say, look, I must tell you that you have to be chayish if this guy's a ganav. But in terms of my relationship with you, you're saying, let's paskin, I'm a ganav, and therefore I don't have anything to do with you. It doesn't have the least impact on the relationship at all. Of course I'm Daniel Lekavskos. Every one of his Talmidim, he treated as if they were Tzadikim Gemurim. But that has nothing to do with the chashash that maybe they'll rape this girl. In exactly the same way as Gedaliah ben Achikam could have treated Yishmael ben Netanyahu with the same love and commitment that he always had to him, while having two guards on hand with machine guns. There's no contradiction between those two. One is behavioral and one is relationship. To pask in the relationship, you have no reason to pask in the relationship with less than 100% evidence. But in terms of taking precautions, you're mechuyev to take precautions with no evidence, but just a chashash. So you have to be chayish for Lashon Hara. You have to be chayish for... So I have to be chayish that you may rape this girl. Does that mean that I look down at you in any way? Absolutely not. The two issues are completely unrelated. That's the point of Dan Lekavskos. If you don't understand that, then you can't really practice Dan Lekavskos. Because it's always going to come at the cost of your normalcy and possibly risking your money or your life. God knows what. I mean, why would I want to do that? I think this makes perfectly good sense. Fine.
Sorry.
Well, not only is it hard, but I mean, in terms of the chayish for Lashon Hara without being makabel Lashon Hara, it's the reason for the Purban Abayit. Because it touches on the nature of evil. This is one of the most central yesodos of the Torah. That's why regal miraglim are so important. Lashon Hara is so important. Because the nature of evil is the personalization of data. In other words, not being able to recognize that information has to do with the state of the universe and not with your processing is the source of all evil. And that's the way the Rambam actually learns the head of the Eitz Hadas, remember? But the head of the Eitz Hadas is the personalization of right and wrong into right and wrong. That's just a very strange thing. When do we make the moralistic connotations to right and wrong? At what point does it become moralistic? Only where it becomes personal. And that was the problem, the Eitz Hadas. So if that's the case, you're talking about one of the most fundamental issues in the entire condition of humanity. That what we do as humans, specifically, what do? We create patterns, right? In other words, we're in a universe that has no particular patterns, tremendously random, chaotic things going on. We make patterns. So acting on those patterns is one thing. Defining reality in terms of those patterns is the source of all of our problems. That's where Avodah Zarah comes from. That's where the attempt to control reality comes from. That's where the whole personalization, the kina, taiva, the puppet, all of those things. That's why it's motzi in min ha'olam, because it takes you out of an external reality into a world that exists in your mind. It's a complete fantasy. So being dan shelo lekav zchus is basically fantasy. It's making assumptions about patterns and saying they are the equivalent of objective reality. So for you to use those patterns to make personal decisions, of course. That's the whole point. That's why your brain evolved, was to make personal decisions. But once they become universal questions, is this person X or Y? What do you mean, is this person? Because you're making the existential definition over here. Based on what? On the patterns that you perceive? I mean, and how do you know if you wouldn't see it from a totally different world, which this guy inhabits, totally different world, How do you know that you wouldn't see it in a completely different way? That's the point. We're talking about something, oh, this is not a moralistic discussion at all, this Gemara. Always be the nice guy and assume the best about everyone. That's not the point. Of course, don't assume the best about everyone. Assume the worst about everyone. If you want your daughter to sleep over their house, or if you want to go into business with them, or whatever it is, of course assume the worst. But what does that have to do with being done? It has nothing to do with defining the person. It has to do with what your brain needs to assume is going to be a problem statistically, that's all, right? Okay, so we're talking about something very, very profound here. Nothing moralistic in the least. Tana Rabbana. Pa'amachat hutzrach do... Where are we here? Oh, pa'amachat, yeah. I didn't skip anything, right? Tana Rabbana. Pa'amachat hutzrach davar achat atamidei chachamim eitzem matronita achat shkog dolei romi mitzuyin etzlo. As we know, in those days, the equivalent of the Washington matrons were matrons, but Roman matrons. And they happened to have the type of relationships that allow them to have very profound effect on various senators and so on. And those are the women that are really the keepers of powers, as they always are. It's the women behind the thrones. And so the only way to impact Rome was to send somebody who could deal with one of these matrons. And so they said, who's going to go there? Me Eileth. And Rabbi Yeshua said, I got no problem. Ani Eileth. So Halak Rabbi Yeshua v'talmidav, he's gone over here to this matron in Rome, and the lights are getting redder as they go. V'kivan shigia lepetach beita, he comes to the doorway of her house, cholach tfilav barichu karba'am. He takes off his tefillin. Bad sign, bad sign. Gives it to his Talmidim. V'nichnas, he goes in, and they hear the door lock. V'na'ala delet b'fneya. Akashi Yatsai comes out of the house a few hours later. Yarad the Taval, first he goes to the mikvah. And then Shana the Talmidim. So Amar Lem, let me ask you something. B'sha'a shechilatzti tefillin b'mechish datuni. What did you think? Amarna, they said, well, we assumed, of course, Kasova Rebbe, lo yikansu divrei kiddushah b'makom tumah. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what your business is. So now you're going to bring your tefillin into a whorehouse. I mean, but it's improv. Oh, and b'shar shana alti b'makash datunim. Well, when I locked the door, what did you think? Amarna, shema dvar malchut, yesh b'no levena. I assumed there were some serious undercover discussions going on, but not really undercover. And that's all we thought. And then let me ask you something. And Bishashi Aradati Vitavalti Mamakash Natuni, what do you think when I went to the mikvah? Amanu Shema Nitsa Tsinura Mipial Begodav Sharebi. Maybe when she was talking to you, she spit. And some saliva touched your baguette, and that was Matami, because we have a Gzera to treat Goyim as of him, look all daughter, and she was Matami. Amalem Avodaka Koya. I swear by the Aved, it's exactly what happened.
She wanted to
rehearse her
with
a poke,
so that she
would
be able to see her
mikvah. So, Gemara, what's the Kiddush of being able to move Truma Tahira? I mean, why would Truma Tahira be Mukta? Pshita. Lo tzrich d'man chabiyad Yisrael. The Kiddush over here is that the Truma, there's not a coin here. It's in the hand of a Yisrael. So, ma d'tema kivin lo chazi lo yasur, v'mashman d'kivin lo chazi lo kohen, shapir domi. Since it's roi for a kohen, it's also roi for the Yisrael to move. Now, this seems to be a little bit strange, because before we had the sugya of Big Day Aniyim, or Big Day Ashirim, Big Day Aniyim Naniyim, Big Day Ashirim Ashirim, but in case we throw the beged into the garbage, whether that's considered to be, I mean, can one person be govea muktzah for somebody else? Do we need a usage that's going to be suitable for you? And here we're saying it doesn't have to be suitable for you. So Tosfos says that we need, first of all, to be mechalek between usages and between Isurim. In other words, in terms of food, this truma is perfectly usable by anybody. The fact that there's an isser on my using this food, and that isser is only on me and not on the kohen, does not turn it into non-food, which is very, very different than saying something that's not useful for me may indeed be something that's muktzah for me, even though it's not muktzah for somebody else. Well, that's a possibility. You know, it says, look, there may be nafkamina is for what the din is an usher b'mokum that there's aniyim. Maybe in that case it would be different. But this is not so clear from the sugya. Don't jump to the conclusion that just because something is right for someone, then necessarily it's right for everybody. This touches, by the way, on the question of Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim. For instance, it's got to be the question of Luv. I don't raise crows. I don't know anybody who raises crows. So you're going to tell me, so for me it's Mutter Luv. Does it depend on the realities and the circumstances and so on? That was also another issue of the same type of thing, right? Okay, so this still remains up in the air. We'll see as we go along whether we can find some other interesting rayas to this. Demai. Demai? How could you move Demai? Alo chazilei. Well, that's not true, because you're always just a statement away from bankruptcy. So, kima diboy mafkulei lenichse v'avi ani. So, in an ani chazilei, yeah, ani is allowed to eat Demai, because it would have been a heck of a world if aniim, every time they knocked on somebody's door, and the guy tells them, okay, sure, have a meal. Say, could I see your heksher first, please? Oh, boy. We really get very far with the aniim. So they didn't make a gezeira of Demai on aniim. So therefore, you could easily be an ani. Because it says in the Mishnah, machilim et aniim, Demai v'tach sanaya Demai. Yom Rav Hunatana, Beit Shammai omrim, ein machilim et aniim, Demai v'tach sanaya Demai. ובית הלל אומרים, מאכילים את העניים דמי ותח סניה דמי. מעשה ראשון שנית את תרומתו, obviously, פשיטה, once I took off truma, then it's normal food. Not so simple. לא צריך שיקדימו בשיבולים ונטליים על תרומת מעשר. It's talking about where the levy went early to pick up the meiser before the tvua was processed and was chayev in truma. Then he takes it to his home, processes the truma, and now he takes off the truma from the miser, which is truma's miser's one tenth of his tenth. But he never took off the truma gedayla because he had gotten this before it was ever chayiv in truma gedayla. Now what happens over there? The Mishnah is talking about a case where nitla truma to, meaning truma of the maser, but not the truma gedola of the perot before they became maser. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. It was higdimo b'shibolim. He took it very early. He took only trumat maaser. V'lo natlayim in a trumah gedolah. And it's coming to tell me the halacha of Rabbi Avu Amri Shlokish, that maaser rishon shigdimo b'shibolim patur mitrumah gedolah. If you take out maaser rishon so early that it's in the state of shibolim still, so that it's not yet chayev as processed grain, you never again have to take off the truma gedola from that grain. The truma gedola is subsumed in the trumat maaser. How do I know such a chiddush? Possibly. Shenema bahari motam mimenu trumat Hashem maaser min maaser. What trumat Hashem? Only maaser min maaser amarti lecha. Please pay attention. I'm telling you, a tenth of a tenth. That's it. The low truma gedolah, the trumat maaser min maaser. You do not have to worry about that extra grain to take off truma gedolah. Only one tenth of the tenth. Omele v'papala abaye. Well, if that's what the pasuk says, so then yochi afilo higdimo b'krin amini pater. I mean, if you're telling me that the pasuk says that you have a right to subsume truma gedolah in trumat maaser, so why did you say only in a case where the levy went there early on and got it while it was still b'shibolim? Maybe this is just a din that there's only a chiyuv to take off maaser min maaser, and a levy never has to worry about truma gedayla. Why do you say dafka in a case where he took it before it was idgun? Ah, Malei Alecha Nakro. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought about guys like you. And therefore, for you, the Pasuk had to add, Mikol Matnotechem, from all of the Matanot, Tarimo et Kol Trumat Hashem. Why is it Kol Trumat Hashem? To tell you there are times where you, Mr. Levy, are going to have to worry about Kol Trumat Hashem. Not only Maaser Min HaMaaser, but also Trumah Gedolah. Oh, now wait a minute. So, Mara Ita, how do you know then what the point is? I mean, the Pasuk doesn't say when the Levy can subsume Trumah Gedolah. The Pasuk just says, sometimes you got to take it all, and sometimes you don't have to take it all. And you went ahead and you decided when those sometimes were. I mean, it may be just the opposite. Maybe when I get the Tefuah in the form of the Shibolim, so I, as a Levi, who now process the Tefuah, since it became now Chayev and Truma and my Rishos, so maybe I should first take off the Truma Gedolah? So how do you know? He says, it's a portion of the Svara. Hai Idgin v'hai lo Idgin. If I take it before it's Idgin, then that means there wasn't a Chiyav yet when I got it, of Truma Gedolah. But once there's a Chiyav, where it was Idgin in the Kri, and now I take it after the Chalot of the Chiyuv of Truma Gedolah, how can I potter the Truma Gedolah by taking off Truma's Maaser? That's not reasonable. What's more reasonable is the Torah is saying that if the thing became Chayav in Truma only after it's in the Rishus of the Levi doesn't have to worry about anything but Truma, Truma's Maaser. So therefore, that's why I said it that way. And the next case in the Mishnah was Maaser Sheni, Pshita. And obviously, if it was Maaser Sheni that was Podui, what could be better than that? Ha! It's talking about it was Podui, but it wasn't Podui right. That he was Natanat HaKeren, Velo Natanat HaChomer. Since he was the owner, he was Mechuyev to add now an additional 25%. And he didn't. But Kamashman Den Chomish Ma'akev. The Mishnah is telling me nonetheless it's usable to her. Because you could pay the Chomish at any time. And the other case we had in the Mishnah was Turmas Yavesh. You should know Davka Yavesh. It's only when it's dried that it's usable. Avalach Lo. You can't use Turmas before it dried, even as animal food. My time Akiman Demorer Lo Acha. The animal will not eat undried Turmas. It's still too bitter even for the animal to chew it up. We continued.
Develop the swing up a little bit.